Prices are rising in China, and so is discontent.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. China is telling its banks to keep more cash in reserve after new numbers out of Beijing this morning say inflation in China is at its highest level in 3 years. Consumer prices jumped 5.5% last month compared with a year earlier. Let's bring in our China Bureau Chief, Rob Schmitz, who's with us from Shanghai. Rob, how are these rising prices being felt in China?
Well, inflation tends to be the backdrop to a lot of unrest in China. In the past few days, we've seen protests by migrant workers in Guangdong province. And if there's anyone in China who feels the pinch of inflation, it's migrant workers. The little they make, they send home, leaving almost nothing for themselves. So a 5.5% rise in the price of food is a very big deal.
Well, when I hear about rising prices and protests, I can't help but think of the Arab Spring. Is there worry in China that these protests could escalate?
Well, you know, the government's worried about it for the pure reason of self-preservation. I spoke to Jeffrey Crothell today with the China Labor Bulletin, and he says we've seen other protests this year where inflation was a big factor.
They're paid very low wages. They have to work very long hours. They face discrimination. When they see one of their number is attacked or victimized, then the natural response is to react against that.
And as we've seen in the past, inflation in China has a tendency to spur social instability. It was one of the factors that led to the Tiananmen Square protests in 1989. China doesn't want a repeat of that, especially now when it's trying to focus on the delicate dance of slowing down its economy, but not slowing it down too much.
Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, in Seattle today, a judge will hear arguments involving unionized labor and Boeing's much-discussed and much-delayed 787 Dreamliner airplane. Boeing opened up a plant last week in South Carolina to build its new fuel-efficient airplane, but it's a non-union plant. That's led to a fight between Boeing and the National Labor Relations Board. Bellamy Palethorpe has our story now from KPLU in Seattle.
Here's what the NLRB alleges. Boeing built the second assembly line for the Dreamliner in South Carolina as retaliation for past strikes by the machinist union in Washington state. And that, it says, is against the law.
It's a legally protected right, and we exercised it, and the company retaliated against us for it.
Paul Veldkamp is a shop steward for the machinist union. He's worked for Boeing 15 years now and says the company's actions have had a definite chilling effect.
People on the shop floor would come up to me after they had announced that they were moving this line to South Carolina, and they'd say, we have to have a contract next time. We can't go on strike, or they're going to send all of our jobs down to South Carolina.
Old-timers say Boeing tries with every contract to take away pay and benefits, even when it's selling record numbers of airplanes. Frederick Hoskins has worked there for 25 years. He says when top executives repeatedly defended their decision to go to South Carolina with anti-union sentiments, it was too much.
That was said over and over and over. We keep going on strike. They want to put it somewhere where that they can keep business going and stay competitive. And that's why they moved it.
There is very clear precedent, including from the Supreme Court, that companies can take the economic impact of strikes into account when making new investments.
Boeing spokesman Tim Neal says no one has lost a job in Puget Sound as a result of their new plant in South Carolina.
In fact, we've actually added 2,000 hourly union jobs in the Puget Sound region over the past year and a half.
Boeing workers in South Carolina have joined the fight against the NLRB.
They would probably board up this facility and I'd be out of work.
Dennis Murray is a quality assurance inspector at the new facility. He thinks South Carolina workers are being discriminated against because they're in a right-to-work state where unions can't be mandatory. This fight has taken on epic proportions, with attorneys general of 16 states now attacking the NLRB and Congress investigating the agency with hearings of its own. In Seattle, I'm Bellamy Palethorpe for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in overseas trading this morning, up about 0.25% right now in London. Word this morning that Apple will pay rival mobile phone maker Nokia an undisclosed sum of money to settle a lawsuit over patent infringement. The two companies have been locked in a legal battle since 2009. Nokia claimed Apple used its technologies in the iPhone. Wall Street nearly missed the call yesterday. The Dow finished just 1 point higher at 11,952.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com. For more about the latest business and economic news from Marketplace, visit marketplace.org to discover even more of the news you love from Marketplace.
Another tech company is going public. This time, it's Pandora. The online music service is set to push ahead with its IPO this week. Marketplace's Steve Henn profiles the company for us.
Millions of consumers love Pandora. From the beginning, it seemed almost magical. Tell it the name of a song or artist you like, and then it delivers other music you're into. So let's say you type in the name Black Eyed Peas. You'll get this. Pandora now has more than 90 million users, but it has to pay handsomely for the rights to songs it streams, and it struggled to find a business model that works. After 10 years, it's still not quite breaking even. Paul Bard's an analyst at Renaissance Capital.
The potential and the opportunity for them is big enough that it's driving big valuations.
Bard says by running more ads, it will turn a profit. Pandora still faces a torrent of competition, from FM to Apple to satellite radio. But Bard believes it has a good shot at stealing listeners and ultimately advertising from all of them. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, what do New Orleans, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Memphis, and New York have in common? They are America's five dirtiest cities, according to the latest Travel and Leisure magazine. They're ranked based on things like litter, air pollution, and the taste of the local tap water. You can see where your city ranks on the list at marketplace.org. Don't feel too bad for the dirtiest city, though. New Orleans also ranked number one when it comes to nightlife, which is probably not a coincidence. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's a competitive world. You want your kids to do well, but a parent only has so much time, you know.
The other problem I have is I have four kids. If you have too many kids, you can't invest that heavily in any one of them because you go crazy.
I'm Kai Ryssdal, also, as it happens, the father of four. It's the Freakonomics of Parenting next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.